Want a $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rose free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Rowe. Go to rowe.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Rowe membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to rowe.co/safety, Rx only.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And it's a beautiful day today. The sun is shining. I know it's shining in Philly. Hopefully it's shining where you are. But I like to think it's shining over the house or the head of every Eagles fan, because today, we got Eagles practice observations. That's right. Later today, the Eagles will be on the practice field. Now, they were on the practice field yesterday, Tuesday, to kick off OTAs. So the OTAs phase three started on Tuesday, which means they were on the field. Not, you know, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s. I don't know if they did 11-on-11s, but they were on the field. Helmets were on. Footballs were thrown. Offense went against defense. All was good in the world. But today, it gets even better, as I will be at Eagles practice today, watching them practice. And you know what that means. That means we're going to have practice observations. So keep an eye out on social media. Go check out GoBirdsInsider.com. I'll be in GoBirdsInsider.com in the chat, giving my observations there. And we're going to have stats. Now, I've got to figure out exactly how to do it. To be clear, if you listen to me over the years, we know training camp stats matter a lot, right? OTA stats are just good information to have. They certainly matter. You want them to play well. Jalen, I'm speaking of, whenever he's out there, you want the receivers to play well. And that's especially true with them learning a new offense. But today, as they do install a new offense, you know, I'm not going to crush Jalen or any of the players for a bad performance. They're learning something. But it's good information to have. And I'm excited to see how much is Jalen under center. How much is he doing play action? How much is he throwing over the middle? So, excited to get down there, excited to watch practice, and excited to talk to you guys about it. So go check out GoBirdsInsider.com, as I will be in the chat answering any question you have from practice. And I'll hang in there for a while after practice and just talk to you guys, because I desperately want to talk to Eagles fans about this. And as much as I hit my friends up and text them all the time, it's awesome to get to talk to you guys about it, even more so, because to be honest, you guys are more into the Eagles, which I love about you. So GoBirdsInsider.com. The link is in the podcast description. Check it out and then talk with me later today about practice. So that is what is on the schedule today. It always feels good to have a what's on the schedule. As the Eagles do practice, I'd imagine we'll probably hear from some players too. I don't have that information yet, but we'll have a lot to talk about for sure after a busy day down at the Jefferson Training Complex. And it's also just cool to have them back, right? We're one step closer to football as we got the mandatory minicamp like 2 weeks away, I think, at this point, 9th and the 10th. So it's coming up. AJ Day is coming up. A week from today, this could be over. AJ could be off the team. So we got a lot to get into today. We'll obviously do some AJ updates, second half of the pod. Some interesting stuff there, some cap ramifications, some new updates on where he'll be going. And I thought this particular article from someone in New England was a good sign for the Eagles. So we'll get into the AJ stuff. But first, I've had this one in the holster, right, for a little bit. And with not a ton of Eagles news on Tuesday, I wanted to break this down. So Football Insights, which is a Twitter account that does an awesome job tweeting out different stats and unique looks at things, put this out, I think it was a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, the difference between quarterbacks when they are in the pocket and when they are out of the pocket. So why is this important? A, it's just important overall and good information to have. But B, we know that this year they're going to want Jalen to play from the pocket, right? Like throwing it over the middle, going under center, all those things. Now they'll still run him. Sean Mannion said last week they still want it to be part of what he does. But overall, I think that obviously everyone's looking for Jalen to be better from in the pocket this year. But what I found so interesting about this is that the perception is Jalen, and me included, by the way, is that Jalen's so good at making things happen on the fly, right? Like he's good at going off script. He's good at running. Not as much the case the last 2 years. And I think 22, 23, 21, certainly parts of 24, he was very good at it. But last year, he stopped running, and that really hurt his productivity out of the pocket. But the encouraging thing is he was actually one of the better in the pocket quarterbacks last year. So let's take a look at all the numbers Football Insights had to had for us, and I'll break it all down and give you all my thoughts on it. So first of all, I thought this stat was super interesting. Jalen Hurts leaves the pocket 27.6% of the time. That is the most in the NFL. And what is, I think, concerning about the stat is A, he's not running as much as he used to. So now when he leaves the pocket, he's not taking off, right? Or he's just kind of running out of bounds. So that's an issue. But look at the other quarterbacks that leave the pocket the most. So Jalen Hurts, number one in the NFL, somewhat wide margin, but 27.6% of the time, most in the league. Number two, Bo Nix, 27%, second year quarterback. Number three, Shedeur Sanders, 26.5%, rookie quarterback. Number four, Caleb Williams, second-year quarterback, 25.6%. And Jackson Dart, rookie quarterback, 25.3%. So you look at the quarterbacks that are leaving the pocket the most, and they're all young quarterbacks. Now, as with any stat, you can look at it a million ways, right? The Eagles' offensive line wasn't as good last year. That certainly impacts it, right? The offense in general struggled. That's going to make a quarterback go out of the pocket more. So I do think that overall, like, there are reasons for him to leave the pocket, but the real concern here is he's leaving it at the same rate as really young players. And again, there can be a lot of reasons to leave the pocket, but one is you don't know, like, you're not getting what you expected to see, right? So if you pre-snap identify what the defense you're going to get is, the play call that you're in is the right one, and you're correct post-snap, like the ball should come out. You shouldn't have to leave the pocket. So if Jalen is doing all those things, and that involves everybody, then he shouldn't be leaving the pocket a ton. And if you look at the quarterbacks that don't leave the pocket a ton, and I've used these three quarterbacks throughout the offseason because I think they all hold a certain meaning to the Eagles, right? Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay offense, Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan offense. We know the Eagles want to run a combination of those along with the Nick Sirianni offense. And then Jordan Love, obviously because of Sean Mannion and other coaching staffs from the coaches from the Packers coaching staff. If you look at them, they're all towards the bottom of leaving the pocket. Matthew Stafford, 14.3%, so almost half of how much Jalen leaves the pocket. Now, Stafford can't run, so that makes sense. But Brock Purdy is a pretty mobile quarterback. He leaves 19.2% of the time, so significantly less than Jalen. Jordan Love, mobile quarterback, not as mobile as Jalen, although new Jalen or 2025 Jalen, maybe he is just as mobile. Jordan Love, 15.8% of the time. So Jalen is leaving the pocket at a very high rate. And the other thing that this ties into is Jalen inviting pressure. We talked about this, I believe it was last week on the pod, or we certainly have over the last month, about how Jalen invites more pressure than almost any quarterback in the NFL and was the number one reason last year on the line. If I remember this correctly, it was either one or two. in terms of allowing pressure. So if you look at like pressure Landon Dickerson allowed, Jalen allowed more pressure. Clearly a subjective stat, right? The guy watching it are objective. Yeah, it's one of those. So clearly this is one where you can be, you know, you look at it and it's your opinion, right? So there is that to that. But all the stats that point to not being great in the pocket, Jalen is near the bottom of the league at, right? Like doesn't get rid of it quickly, leaves the pocket a ton, invites pressure. So last week we talked about how the Eagles want to do more 13 personnel. One of the advantages of that, you should go back and listen to the pod, is negative plays when you are in 13 personnel last year, at least, were very small. Interceptions were fewer and sacks were fewer. So I do think one of the reasons you're seeing them move to this offense is A, the running game. B, they want the passing game to be better. But part of it is also just getting Jalen to be better in the pocket, right? So the fact he leaves the pocket all the time is concerning. But then he's way better in the pocket than out of the pocket. So inside the pocket, Jalen Hurts, and we're going to use EPA here because that's what Football Insights uses, had a 0.17 EPA per drop back. The success rate when he was in the pocket was 47.8%. If you look at the scores of some of the best quarterbacks in the league in the pocket, Jalen had the seventh best EPA per drop back in the NFL. Josh Allen was one at 0.24, just to give you some context. Jared Goff, 2.23. Jordan Love, third, 0.22. Lamar Jackson, 4.21. And then it goes Purdy, Stafford, Hurts. And Hurts was actually tied with Stafford for EPA per play in the pocket, which is definitely interesting considering how good Stafford played. Now, they're being asked to do different things, obviously, right? Like, Jalen is mostly throwing hitch routes. Stafford and these other quarterbacks are doing more things. So that's part of it. But the result's the result. And Jalen in the pocket was the seventh best quarterback per EPA in the NFL last year. The issue is outside the pocket, Jalen took a considerable dip. So he was 0.17 EPA per drop back in the pocket, 0.03 EPA per drop back outside of the pocket. That was 19th. And his success rate dips to 43%. So almost 50% success rate in the pocket, that dips to 43% outside of the pocket. And you look at some of the other quarterbacks outside of the pocket, Lamar Jackson, 0.32. I wonder why. Duh, because he's maybe the best running quarterback that's ever played the game. Patrick Mahomes, also a good mobile quarterback, but also excellent out of the pocket, 0.27. Baker was number three at 0.26. Jaden Daniels, number four at 0.24. And I should say these stats encapsulate the last 2 years, right? So Jaden Daniels, obviously awesome 2 years ago, not as good last year. And then Josh Allen, 0.23. So the top five outside the pocket quarterbacks, Lamar, Mahomes, Baker, Jaden Daniels, and Josh Allen. So I think that's a little interesting, right? That the guys that do damage out of the pocket, Lamar, Mahomes, and Allen, are all considered pretty universally in those top four quarterbacks and considered kind of in their own class. And then Allen also obviously inside the pocket is awesome, and Lamar as well. So interesting to me that the guys outside the pocket that are doing the big damage are the guys that we view as the best in the league. Now, that used to be Jalen, right? Like, he used to be really, really good at that. It's not happening anymore. But the good news is, not good news, but if you look at the quarterbacks that we talked about that are noteworthy to me, Stafford, Purdy, and Love, none of them did huge damage outside the pocket. Stafford, 0.08. So still considerably higher than Jalen, but not a huge number. Purdy, 0.06, and Love, 0.04. And that's, of course, their EPA per drop back. So Jalen right there with Jordan Love, not far behind Purdy, although I guess actually Purdy twice as effective, and Stafford almost three times as effective. So overall, when you look at this, Jalen has one of the biggest drop-offs from inside the pocket to outside the pocket. In fact, only 10 quarterbacks, and I think they tracked like 40-ish quarterbacks for this, had a bigger drop-off. And you look at the quarterbacks that were around Jalen when it comes to huge drop-offs, right? Justin Fields, Jacoby Brissett, Tua, Michael Penix, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Shador Sanders, Kirk Cousins, and Joe Flacco. I think the only quarterback in that list that you could argue over the past 2 years has played at a level Eagles fans want Jalen to play at is Dak Prescott. The rest of those quarterbacks that have a big difference from inside to outside. Now, that could be really bad outside, really bad inside, or vice versa, but just the biggest discrepancy, right? are all bad quarterbacks. So that's not encouraging. Then you look at the quarterbacks with a positive change. Ones that from inside the pocket to outside the pocket improve. Mahomes, Baker, Jaden Daniels. Cam Ward's there. Now that's only because he is so horrendous in the pocket that even just being below average outside the pocket is a huge shift for him. So I would kind of take him out of there. Lamar, CJ Stroud, and Drake May. So just look at those two groups of quarterbacks, right? Mahomes, Mayfield, Jaden Daniels, Lamar, and Drake May, I think everyone would agree, are very good quarterbacks. CJ Stroud, the outlier there, and then Cam Ward, a complete fluke, the fact that he's in there. So that's a good group of quarterbacks. Then you have the quarterbacks that Jalen's in. Justin Fields, Jacoby Brissett, Tua, Penix, again, Shador, Russell Wilson, Cousins, Flacco, bad quarterbacks over the past 2 years. So that's not great. It's not encouraging to see. So I think going into this year, if you want to do glass half full, it's that he's good in the pocket, right? He is a seventh best quarterback in the pocket last year. And that was with a bad offensive line, an offense that didn't play overall well as a whole. And honestly, this kind of checks. Like, for as much as Jalen gets talked about not being great in the pocket and early in his career, teams wanted to keep him in the pocket. He also is someone that statistically, right? Like, there are stats you can point to where you go, okay, you know, in the pocket, he has this QBR or whatever, right? Like, there are stats you could point to. Again, context matters with all that. But it's encouraging to see that in the pocket, he was the seventh best quarterback in the NFL last year in a somewhat broken situation overall. The difference, outside the pocket, he's not as effective. That's because of running. That's because of decision-making. Maybe guys not, you know, getting on the scramble drill with him, whatever it is. Next year with Sean Mannion, I think in the pocket, Jalen can do it. But it's about adding positive impact with his legs that then make him one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL. Because if he's top seven in the pocket, if he can get back to being a top 10 outside the pocket, a scrambler, you know, broken down plays, then he will be a top five quarterback again. But that's kind of where they need a change, right? They need to see him be better outside of the pocket. All right, next up, I saw this quote, or soundbite, I guess I should say, from Jason Kelce. And I completely agreed with it. So here's Jason Kelce on his podcast, New Heights, talking about a risk the NFL is taking with having games on so many days. Here's Kelce on that.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
I don't think we're there yet. Sunday is the day of football, right? Outside of going to church in the morning, if you're still religious and you do that, Sunday is like where so many games happen. And that's what you grow up in. You gear your entire week around watching football on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's an institution at this point, the NFL playing games on Sunday. With every day that we keep adding in there, we're getting away from that just a little bit. And I worry that I think the game got big. One of the reasons it got so popular and big was because all of the game, it was an event. Sunday is the NFL, and everybody set their week apart to tune into their games that were happening on Sunday. And you're watching kind of all of them now take place across the, I mean, Sunday ticket, right? I worry that we're getting away from that just a little bit by building too many of this.
He's right. He's right. Like, it used to be, I remember growing up, like, I still have a very vivid, like, feeling, right, of, like, a fall Sunday, getting the paper out, encircling who I think is going to win each game with my family, going grocery shopping with my mom, coming home, the paper's out, me and my dad and my mom and, you know, sister would take part too, and we would circle the games and then watch the games. Like, Sunday was an event, right? Now, I think you kind of on Tuesday look ahead and go, all right, like, what's the best game? All right, the best game's on Thursday night this week, which is not often, but let's just say Thursday night, the best game is on. All right, well, Sunday, I can kind of check out a little bit. Or Monday, well, Monday night's the game of the week. Or even Sunday night, right? Like, I think by having games in so many time slots, they're lessening the impact of how important it is to focus on the NFL on Sunday. And we're seeing that this year with the Eagles. The Eagles are playing on Christmas Eve. They're playing on Thanksgiving. They're playing on Monday. They're playing Sunday night. They're playing Saturday, right? Like, they're playing all over. So what the NFL has, I think that makes it so special. And I've long thought this. Like, I'm not saying people don't like the game of football, but what people love about the NFL is the buildup and the drama. All week, storylines. This guy needs a good game. This guy has to beat this guy. Can this guy win this game? And then you watch it play out. Now, you're getting less time to build up those stories, right? If the Eagles play on Sunday and then play on Thursday, or if they play on Saturday, like, that's less time to then build up the drama. But it also lessens the impact of the game. Like, one of the issues the NBA has, and the NBA plays way more games, obviously, is their games don't really matter anymore. Like, the regular season, you can watch it because you love the Sixers or you love watching basketball, but very rarely are you going on a Monday, oh man, I can't wait for Wednesday night's regular season game. The NFL has that with Sundays. They dominate the day. You're able to say, all right, what are we doing this weekend? Well, Friday we have this, and then obviously Sunday we're watching football. That's lessening now because maybe you have to go, well, actually Monday night's the bigger one, so let's do this Sunday because of blah, blah, blah. So I think Kelsey's right. And I think this about Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving. And again, I'm not going to be able to talk about this, objectively because I love Christmas Eve. It's the best day of the year. But the fact that Christmas Eve is impacting Eagles now is crazy to me too, or impacting NFL. So look, the NFL is going to do what they're going to do based off of how many people are watching, and everyone's going to watch the NFL. So I don't really blame them for doing it. But man, they are losing some of their luster. They really are when it comes to the specialness of Sunday. And I think Jason Kelsey is dead on about that. All right, on the other side, of course, we got AJ Brown updates, and we won't have them for much longer. All right, we'll get to that on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope, she bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Okay, so we are officially inside of a week until June 1st. A week from today will be June 3rd, which means we might be 2 days into knowing what's going on with AJ Brown. Has he been traded? What the compensation was? You know, there's a line, and James will love this, in Hamilton where it's like, I've imagined death so much it feels just like a memory. I almost feel like once AJ's traded, like, we will have all already said our thoughts. It's not like it's going to come out of nowhere. Like when they traded for Dontavian Wicks, it's like, oh man, what does everybody think? When AJ's traded, it'll probably be for a 2028 first plus some other pick, and he'll go to New England. And we'll all just kind of sit here and go, yeah, it's what we saw coming. But I'm still excited for breaking news. The rush of news breaking and of everyone talking about it will never get old to me. So within a week, we will know where AJ is. And it certainly is sounding more and more and more like he is going to end up in New England. Breaking news, not really. But Albert Breer, who's been reporting a lot on AJ recently wrote this for Sports Illustrated and kind of gave like a full picture of where things stand. So there's a cap ramification part of this, which we will get into. And then there is like how kind of things played out, right? So here's what Albert Breer writes, quote, So, per the NFL's internal system, if Brown were traded today, his cap number would jump to $43.5 million for 2026. If he's dealt next week, so post June 1st, then the Eagles can take $16.3 million of it now, which is the past bonus proration set to the cap this year, and $27.1 million next year. With this Philly cap number sitting at $23.3 million, that means it's either add $20 million to this year's cap or save $7 million and push the rest off, end quote. So first, let's talk about that, right? So we've talked about this on the pod, but I feel like this is something worth hammering home. Everyone says it's more beneficial for the Eagles to trade AJ after June 1st on the cap. That is true for 2026. It is not true for 2027, and he breaks that down there. If they traded AJ today, so May 27th, he would go from $23 million to $43 million, roughly. So you're losing $20 million in cap space. Now, the Eagles only have $24 million in cap space, which is another indication that you know they're waiting till post-June 1st. So if they were to trade AJ today, they'd be down to $4 million in cap space. I get that. They're not going to do that, right? But there were large parts of this offseason where they had 35, 36, $40 million in cap space, where I think they were prepared to trade AJ, but didn't get the result or the offer that they wanted. So they're going to save money in this year's cap, right? They'll add $7 million. But next year, they're going to have a $27 million cap hit for AJ Brown, and he will not be on the roster for 2027. And it's funny because I remember when they traded Carson back in 2020 or 2021, it was a $35 million cap hit. And everyone's like, well, you can't possibly do that. That's unheard of, right? Now, Russell Wilson was like $100 million. Tua is an absurd amount of money. But $27 million is still a pretty wild amount of money to have on the roster in 2027 when AJ won't be playing. Like, you can already see the tweets, right? Let's say the Eagles don't go well this year and AJ crushes it in New England, and it'll be AJ will cost more on the Eagles cap in 27 than he will for the Patriots, right? And we'll see how that works out with his cap number there. But so while everyone's like, when they trade him and then they gain cap space and everyone's going to go, oh, Howie season, here we go. This is a big deal on the 27 cap. So that's worth pointing out, I think, right? They currently have $19 million in cap space next season. Trade him now and take it all in 26. And that number is $41 million. Now it's only $4 million this year, but it's $41 million next year. Trade him post June 1st, which is what they're likely going to do, almost definitely going to do. And that number goes down to $14 million. So it's a $27 million difference. Now, $14 million, they will create space. They'll, you know, there's the Jalen contract. There's all types of things where they'll create space. But $27 million is no small number for next season. So I think that is worth pointing out when we talk about the fact they're waiting post June 1st. And Albert Breer points that out. Now, the next part of this is it seems like it's only the Patriots at this point. So Albert Breer writes, quote, as for where AJ's going, it always made sense for the Eagles to wait to agree to terms until the last minute because things can change elsewhere and already have with the Rice situation in Kansas City. But the Chiefs, Chargers, Bills, and Rams all had their shot at this already. And I think the final result will be what everyone's treating as a fait accompli. And that's Brown reuniting with Mike Vrabel in New England, end quote. So if the Chiefs, Chargers, Bills, and Rams all had their shot and are all out, that's not a great negotiating spot for the Eagles. Because again, they could have an agreement in place or whatever and like have a handshake deal. Business is business. And the Patriots could go, I know we said that, but now I actually think we're not giving you a first. We're going to give you a second. And that's when the Eagles could wait, right? And see if the Chiefs, Chargers, Bills, or Rams want to jump back in. And maybe at a cheaper price, they would. Maybe out of spite, the Eagles would trade them, is trade AJ to another team simply because the Patriots tried to screw them. So there's all that, right? But I thought that potential outcome is why I think this paragraph is so important. And this is Patriots writer for SB Nation, Andrew Gundon, I think his name is. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. And he writes that the Patriots need to trade for AJ. Quote, standing pat isn't good enough. A first round pick in any draft could be considered too rich for Brown, and the Patriots could argue that a fair price for the receiver would start with a second round pick as the framework of a potential deal. However, if New England enters next season with Romeo Doubs as its top receiver on the depth chart, then the offense has taken a step back in terms of the pass catchers available for May. Dobbs is younger than Diggs and has plenty of room for development, but looking at the situation in a vacuum, he's never produced Diggs' 2025 numbers. An improvement to the wide receiver room was needed even prior to the Diggs and Dobbs swap. The Patriots' 2028 first selection is worth the price for Brown, although a 2027 first should be off limits for injury and Super Bowl hangover insurance. Nonetheless, New England can't become complacent, end quote. So what's interesting in there is, A, you can see like he values AJ, but not a ton. And I feel like that kind of matches the market and how things have played out. But I think what you also hear in there is the Patriots have some desperation, right? Like they went into this offseason thinking they were going to upgrade the pass catchers. They haven't done that yet. Dobbs for Diggs, I think Dobbs is better, but he's right. Like Diggs in 2025 was pretty good for the Patriots. They got to the Super Bowl with him as their receiver. The difference they need, the reason to believe next year, is AJ. And if they decide they're going to hold firm on a cheap price for AJ, well, I think the Eagles still need to trade AJ more than the Patriots need to trade for AJ. It's going to be ugly in New England if this falls through. And there's going to be a lot of concern about the pass catchers and disappointment they didn't get AJ. So I still think the Patriots have to go make a move. And I think this paragraph points to while maybe the Chiefs, Chargers, Bills, and Rams are out, it's still a good sign that the Patriots really need AJ Brown. All right, that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. As I mentioned, what an exciting day it is today. Make sure you're checking out me on social, but also GoBirdsInsider.com. Go check out the link in the podcast description and ask me what you want me to look out for. And I'll make sure I do it and I'll try to talk to you about it later today. So go enjoy your day. Until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.